This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll hear from Dr. Craig Freeman. He teaches media law, media ethics, and media writing at the Manship School, and he's also a member of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board, and we'll talk with him about a few things. Also, the fabled political consultant Gus Weil on what's going to happen with President Obama and Governor Romney in the last 31 days of the campaign, and Joseph Recapito and Bill Bryan on Columbus Day and the influence of the Italian community in this area. All this today, but first the news, and before we get there, we'd like your support throughout the day. This is the home stretch, the final day of the fall pledge drive, and certainly we need your contributions to keep the programs coming your way right here on WRKF. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Good morning. I'm Jim Inkster, and we're joined in studio by Craig Freeman, one of the most versatile people in our community, professor at LSU at the Manship School, an East Baton Rouge Parish School Board member. And come October 28th, Kevin, put his mic up, Craig Freeman will be hosting Public Square again. He returns to LPB.
I missed it. And so I had to step away when I ran for office. You know, there's some laws that kind of restrict, or not restrict, mandate opportunities for equal access to broadcast stations. And so I had to pull away and never got back. And so this summer I got a chance to catch up with Kevin and Beth over at LPB. And they said there might be a spot available for me. And so I leapt at the opportunity. I love it.
Well, that is great. 297-5633. 877-217-5757. Those are your numbers wherever you are. And you may reach us online at inkstershow@wrkf.org. We're going to put the LPB hat on Dr. Freeman for a few moments. Now, Jim Lehrer has taken quite a beating for his performance the other night as the moderator of the presidential debate. He's 78 years old. He's been in the business, I think, for 52 years. What could he have done differently?
I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is, I think people wanted him to cut people off, you know, kind of engage a little bit more. You know, as somebody that's done Public Square for 5 years, I kind of have the opposite view. You know, you let the other people become the stars. I don't think you, as the moderator in a presidential debate, I don't think you're the one people want to talk about. They want to talk about the president and the challenger. And so you got to get out of the way. But I'm not sure he got out of the way the right way.
Okay. Well, one thing that did come out of the debate is that Governor Romney wants to take out Big Bird, at least the federal funding for Big Bird. Here's Governor Romney a few nights ago.
Kevin. I'm sorry, Jim. I'm going to stop the subsidy to PBS. I'm going to stop other things. I like PBS. I love Big Bird. I actually like you, too. But I'm not going to keep on spending money on things to borrow money from China to pay for it.
Now, the funding for public broadcasting is minuscule, but it's an easy target, isn't it?
It is, and it's a small amount, and it's got such a huge impact. We just have over-the-air broadcast for television in our house. I've got four kids, and so LPB is on in my house all the time. You know, if you kill Big Bird, I'm not sure what my kids are going to do in the morning. You know, they all grew up with Sesame Street. They still watch it now, and so I hope we don't fricassee the Big Bird.
And I was surprised the president didn't respond.
I was, and we were talking a little bit about that earlier. I think he had a pretty reserved demeanor for this debate. I think that it's an evolving process, and so I think a lot of people are worried about what happened, at the debate. I'm looking forward to three debates. You know, one of the things we talked about a little earlier is I'm not sure that a debate is the best way to choose a president. I think both the president and the governor have records that we can look back at and kind of evaluate. And so, I don't think that you need a great debate performance or a poor debate performance to figure out who to vote for. Hopefully, it's more than just 90 minutes on TV.
We're visiting with Dr. Craig Freeman of the LSU Manship School and soon to be, once again, hosting Public Square on Louisiana Public Broadcasting. He did so for 5 years. And he is a member of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board. Quote here from Bernard Taylor, the new superintendent of the East Baton Rouge Parish School System, a story about education in the latest issue of 225, in which Bernard Taylor says, being a teacher here can be daunting. And here's a man who's only been here for a while, but he's already gotten, I think, a dose of reality as far as the conditions.
But, you know, I think our teachers are doing just a fantastic job. I don't know if you saw the Advocate this morning. They talked about the fact that, at least on the initial performance scores, our teachers are performing better than any other in the state. And I can tell you from going into classrooms, I got a chance to take a group of people to Baton Rouge High and to University Terrace and to McKinley High School on Tuesday. And the things that they're doing in these classrooms are amazing. At University Terrace, they speak 26 different languages at the school. They've got children with hearing disabilities, and the kindergartners were going through the alphabet and signing as well as speaking the alphabet. And so if you're learning that at 6 or 5, I think you're doing a great job in the classroom.
This story in 225 indicates that some teachers are going door to door. They did so in the summer in low-income areas trying to boost school enrollment.
Absolutely. You know, you've got to know your neighborhood. And so a part of that is knowing where your children come from and trying to meet them where they are. I think it's a great idea for teachers to get out. You know, you saw it in other parishes. I'm glad you're starting to see that here. One of the things that I think Dr. Taylor has as a priority is to get out in the community more. A lot of people say that the schools are bad, but haven't been in schools in 15 or 20 or 30 years. Come in and join us. We're doing some amazing things in our schools.
Dr. Craig Freeman, a teacher at the Manship School and also a man who is involved intricately in this community as a member of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board. Why did you run?
I ran because I really do. I feel like I've been blessed with the schools that we have. I've got four kids. All of my kids go to public school. I was at a series of monologues, of middle school monologues, on Wednesday with my 11-year-old son. The things that I've received from public schools in Baton Rouge are amazing. I talked to a friend in Washington, D.C., who was writing essays so he could get his daughter into a $20,000 a year school. And I thought, wow, that's 20 grand that I've got in my pocket that I can use to improve our economy and do things with my kids. And so, you know, the gift that I've received from East Baton Rouge Public Schools was what really motivated me to run and improve them more.
Mike in Sherwood. Mike, good morning. You're on the air with Craig Freeman.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling. Dr. Freeman, I have a question about the concept of magnet schools. I know that we all want government and education to be efficient and transparent and effective and all that kind of good stuff, but it kind of looks like a two-class system to me where you've got magnet schools where some kids go to and then everybody else is sort of a second-class citizen. Why isn't every school a magnet school?
The joy for me is that we've got Dr. Taylor here, and Dr. Taylor, I really think, is a giant, a real leader in educational theory. And one of the things that I think Dr. Taylor is going to do over the next year is have more neighborhood magnets. We had four meetings over the last couple of weeks at schools where we're going to try and introduce that concept where you don't have to get on a bus and go across town to get to a magnet, but your school is going to have some magnet programming. And so a school in my district, Polk Elementary, hopefully will have a chance for the kids in that neighborhood to get amazing magnet programming at their school. And so I do understand the problem with this notion of a two-tiered system. I think Dr. Taylor is working really hard to eliminate that and bring innovative programming to your neighborhood. And so give him a chance. In the next 2 years, I think you're going to see a huge expansion of that.
Well, Dr. Freeman, as I noted, is quite a teacher in his own right, two-time winner of the Tiger Athletic Foundation Teaching Award, recognizing excellence on campus in the classroom. You grew up in Philadelphia?
I did.
How are the schools there, how do they contrast with the schools here?
You know, my father just retired from the Philadelphia school system 2 years ago, and you hear the stories about what's going on there, and we should feel lucky. I think that we've got really great schools here. Philadelphia, there are challenges. And again, you know, thinking about my friend in Washington, he's a doctor, his wife is a doctor. They had their kids in public schools and didn't feel comfortable. They had their kids in charter schools and didn't feel comfortable. And so now they're applying for Sidwell Friends, the school that the president's daughters go to. You know, he may spend $70,000 on his kids over the next couple of years, each year. we don't have those kinds of concerns here. And so I think you can find some good schools here. Philly and Washington are in a different state.
Would you encourage people to send their kids to public schools?
Yes. And one of the things that I'm ashamed to say is I didn't know until I was really on the board how much we do in all of our schools. I was zoned initially so that my son was going to go to Buchanan. And, I thought, I'm not sure that I want my child to go to Buchanan. The principal at Buchanan is a phenomenal principal. That school just won an award for being a high-performance, high-poverty school. If you get a chance to go in, just walk in the schools. When you walk in, you'll see what's going on. You'll see that your kids are safe. You'll see that your kids are loved, and you'll come back.
We'll spend a bit more time with Dr. Craig Freeman, member of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board, professor at LSU, and also soon to be returning to the host chair at Public Square for LPB. We'll also hear from Gus Weil in our next segment, but first we'll pause and we ask for your support today on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and we resume our conversation with Craig Freeman. In just a bit, we'll hear from the fabled political consultant Gus Weil. Dr. Freeman is an associate professor of mass communication at LSU, the Manship School. He's been there for 12 years.
12 years.
Member of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board as well. And I guess that means you were on campus, probably in the classroom on 9/11.
I was. I was on campus that day, and it was an awkward day. My son was 6 weeks old, and you didn't know what to do, and so you didn't know whether to go to work or not. But I had class. I had an ethics class, and so it was interesting. The funny part at the time was we were fighting for TVs. We didn't have TVs in the journalism school at the time. We do now, and not only do we have televisions now, we've got actually the ability to record all the time so that when things happen, we've got the ability on, I think, 12 or 14 channels to kind of record what's going on and then follow that and track what's going on. But it was a different time 12 years ago.
So you had to scramble to find a television.
Oh, yeah. I remember it on a cart, and it's a big, a huge television on a cart. You're trying to roll it down the hallway. The journalism building was a lot different from what it is today. And so we've moved a lot in the last 12 years. It's, it's amazing, how the cameras have shrunk, how the televisions have grown bigger, and how our ability to track that has really grown dramatically.
Here's a question from Chad in Baker. He says, please address the column by J.R. Ball, the Baton Rouge Business Report, that talked about 30 years since Judge John Parker's decree to institute busing and how it accelerated white flight, out-migration, urban sprawl, and breakaway districts.
I was not here for a lot of that. I did not have to get on a bus in Baton Rouge. And so a lot of that is still alien to me. I don't understand why everybody doesn't go to our schools. I think one of the things that we have to do as a school board is to help in policy to make sure that everybody feels welcome. And so, especially in places where we've got capacity, where we've got, seats, we want to make sure that kids know that they're going to get a great education, all parents. And so, I think people did leave. I think the people left the system in the 70s and the 80s, and now they're starting to come back. One of my favorite stories from this week is at Westdale Middle, they won an award from Spain for being the top immersion program in the country. Not the top program in Louisiana, mm-hmm. Not the top, middle school program. They are the best. And so time after time, we've got the principal of the year. We've got blue ribbon schools. We've got high performing, high poverty schools. And so come back. We're doing a darn good job.
Well, we hope you'll come back to this show. And always good to see you, Dr. Freeman. And we'll be seeing you on Public Square very soon.
My pleasure. And I've got my my credit card. Where do I go? I feel like I should have done this a lot earlier.
We'll take care of you.
I appreciate it. So, I hope listeners can join me. I feel like I've been stealing. I watched the news this morning and watched the news about the fight between Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj on Twitter. And I thought, why is this on the news? And so it's really, I appreciate having real conversations about real things. And so thank you for all you do.
Thank you. And we're joined now by Gus Weil, who, of course, was also a longtime staple on public broadcasting in Louisiana, is host of Louisiana Legends, and of course is better known as a political consultant who guided the likes of James Carville, Raymond Strother, Roy Fletcher, and others. Good morning to you, Gus Weil.
Good morning, Jim. How do you do, sir?
Fine. What was your take on the debate the other night?
Well, you know, Jim, a few months ago, weeks ago, I predicted the political demise of Governor Romney based on the unfortunate remark that was recorded of him saying that 47% of the people in America he didn't care about. I thought, well, that finishes Romney off politically. Because the thing about that is, everybody thinks they're a part of that 47%. Blacks say that. He means me. Our Spanish population says, no, no, me. People on welfare say me anyway. I thought the man shot himself in the head.
Not in the foot, but in the head.
In the head. I thought it was pretty well over. And some predicted on
that's serious stuff.
And I turned on the debate the other night, just full of confidence, you know. I was... I base my confidence. Obama, the president, is the most articulate of men and the most prepared, I guess, in my lifetime. And he bombed. He was awful. He was stuttering. He was at a loss. He looked old. And the other man, Romney, looked totally prepared. And Obama, the president, President Obama, may have committed the unpardonable sin of bringing a dead horse back to life, because I think now it is very much a campaign.
HB in Denham Springs, you're on the air with Gus Weil. Good morning, HB.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Weil, the cost of running a campaign nowadays is getting ridiculously out of the realm of the average person who wants to serve public office. For example, Livingston Parish Sheriff, the elect, paid out over $500,000 just to get elected to be sheriff, which puts that the median income is $40,000. That means the average person's got to work 13 years to gross what was spent just to be sheriff of Livingston Parish. Do you think that this is fair to the average person who really wants to enter public service? Because there's no way they can compete with that kind of the cost in a campaign. Thank you, sir.
Well, this is a democracy, and anybody has a right to run for office. And thank God, I want to tell you, it isn't always the man who spends, the man or woman who spends the most, who gets elected. Quite often it's a nobody, somebody who comes from no place, and they catch the fire with a population. And so while I see your point, and there's much to it, I know that money is not the dominant thing.
Now, 12 years ago, President Obama couldn't get 30% of the votes in a congressional race in Chicago. He lost to the former Black Panther Bobby Rush, who got over 70% of the votes. So that shows you how things can change. In 8 years, the president became the leader of the free world. Now, it goes without saying, he's the first minority president. And Kevin, some comments in the last few days about the president. For example, Newt Gingrich saying the president would rather be playing basketball and watching ESPN. And this comment that we're about to hear from John Sununu, the longtime Politico, former chief of staff to the first President Bush, they may have a racist twist to them. Here, let's give a listen to Sununu, who was interviewed by Andrea Mitchell.
He's gotten rave reviews almost universally.
Andrea, what people saw last night, I think, was a president that revealed his incompetence, how lazy and detached he is, and how he has absolutely no idea how serious the economic problems of the country are and how he has failed to even begin to address them.
Did you really mean to call Barack Obama, the president of the United States, lazy?
Yes. I think you saw him admit it the night before when he delivered the pizzas. He said, you know, they're making me do this work. He didn't want to prepare for this debate. He's lazy and disengaged.
What do you think, Gus Weil?
In my opinion, this is me, I think that Mr. Sununu is a racist pig. I don't know how I can be more succinct than that. He's using all the old buzzwords that we in the South know so well. Obama's lazy. That was a word that meant the black man. The black man was lazy. Obama has shown more energy and fire. And that is why his performance the other night was so inexplicable. I don't know why it was that way. It's the first time I've ever seen him fall, and it was quite shocking to me. I wonder if perhaps he isn't so used to being Mr. President and everybody within earshot agreeing with him, because our president is our king. I wonder if perhaps that meant that he felt that he didn't have to prepare, which was a terrible error to make. Now, Newt Gingrich, I think, is a very articulate bum with a million-dollar credit card from that jewelry company in New York. What's the name of it, Jim?
Tiffany's.
Tiffany's. So I don't know how I can be more succinct than that. Now, he's a much brighter man than Sununu, but also been a racist in his own articulate way. But on the other hand, you've got to blame a lot of it on Obama, because he opened the door by lack of performance and let those kind of awful people in. And I hope those awful people don't end up running this country.
297-5633, still time to talk with Gus Weil, the political consultant who has seen racially charged campaigns before. You saw a few of them in Louisiana, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness, I've seen them. I remember when John McKithen was elected governor. Now, we're talking the election was in 1963. I remember when doctor's offices in Baton Rouge, the physician I went to, had a wall down the middle of the office. And one side said colored, and the other side said white. I remember the drinking fountains in front of, not in Baton Rouge, but right out of Baton Rouge, where there were drinking fountains in the front of the courthouse, allegedly owned by the people, with the drinking water that said colored, and the other said white. So we come from a background of extreme prejudice. And I must tell you, a lot of it still exists. But I think that Obama had put most of that to bed, and that's the tragedy of what he did not accomplish the other night. Those bums who've been hiding out, they're out in force, and you can expect to hear more and more of this bigotry.
Well, Sununu is from New England. He's not a Southerner. Do you think he knew what he was saying?
I think he not only, of course he knew what he was saying. What he was doing was calling to arms people who feel in a like manner and using all the right code words. Of course he knew exactly. Those are brilliant, educated men, so they can't plead ignorance. But to say that Obama's lazy or incompetent, Obama's perhaps the most intelligent and prepared president whom we've ever had.
Well, how do you see round two? They'll debate on the 16th. Romney and Obama will. What will happen? Will the president change?
I tell you what I think. I think if I was Obama, I'd get a new consultant to prepare me for that debate, because whoever gave him counsel, if he took it, now maybe he didn't, with a presidential I-know-everything syndrome, if he took their counsel and thought that he would be asked the same old questions or that Romney was incompetent, then he needs to get a new consultant and to begin preparing for the next debate, because the debate is not based so much on knowledge as on presentation. Two men can say the same thing, and one can sound so extremely calm and collected and knowledgeable, and the other can sound like he's grasping for words. So he needs some consulting.
Well, there are other things like the Gore sigh that hurt him, and remember when President Bush, the first President Bush, looked at his watch? It looked the other night like President Obama really didn't want to be there.
It did, and perhaps, and I have no way to know this, perhaps he had an unpleasant experience before going on the air. That can harm you. That can blow your mind, get you thinking at a subconscious level about something else. Perhaps he was the recipient of terrible news that only a president would know about. I don't know, but he was the most important night since election night 4 years ago, 3 years ago. He blew.
It was his 20th anniversary, and the funniest line of the night was Romney saying, "I'm sure you would rather be with me than with your wife," or something to that effect. But these two guys are not the most humor-filled people on the planet.
Well, Obama is a very funny man. I've heard him where he was very funny, and teasing and making fun of himself. So that's not quite correct. But the other night, there was nothing humorous about his approach. And the next day, I heard him on the stump, and he was trying to handle it. He knew he had lost the debate, and he was trying to handle it with humor. That didn't work.
Well, Gossett,
most of the laughter was coming from him and not his audience.
We've got to take a break. We'll return in a few minutes with Gus Weil and also hear from Joseph Recapito and Bill Bryan. But we ask for your support on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Thank you for your support, and we particularly thank you for pledging this hour and showing your support for this program. 297-5633 in our remaining time with Gus Weil, who has handled candidates near and far, including the 1960 presidential election, in which he was involved in the election of John Kennedy. Now, Gus Weil, the vice presidential candidates will square off next week. This is the 24th anniversary of the Quayle-Benson debate, in which Lloyd Benson made that famous statement that you're no Jack Kennedy. Interestingly, Benson was 67 at that time. Quayle was 41. Next week, when we have Biden and Ryan, Biden is 69 and Ryan is 42. So about the same difference in age. What do you think?
I don't think Ryan can take what's his name?
Biden.
The vice president is so knowledgeable, and he's a fighter. And he's had about 50 years political experience. So I think that Ryan better really be prepared. And may I say one other thing about the president and Governor Romney? I think that the president didn't mention the most important thing in his arsenal of words. That is that we still have unemployment. We still have major deficits, not only because he inherited them, but because the Republican Congress would not let him fix them. We have to realize that the minority leader of the Senate, Mr. McConnell of Kentucky, said that the most important thing that his party could do was work every day to ensure that Obama was not reelected president. But he never brought that up. He sounded more like a man who was giving a valedictory than somebody in the fight of his life.
Yeah, you can't win these debates at 30,000 feet. You gotta punch back. And good number today for the president. Unemployment falls to 7.8%. The economy creates 114,000 jobs. Do people really follow those numbers, Gus?
I think the job numbers people really follow, because that is really hurting a lot of people. The only people probably not being hurt are those of us in Louisiana who stay at the bottom of all this. We can't climb out of the poverty. And what's happening with our schools and our hospitals makes your heart just cry out. I don't know what it would be like to be a truly poor man in Louisiana today. You would be pretty much alone, because nobody's much speaking about it. It's like, well, the biggest thing on our minds right now is, can LSU beat Florida?
Well, thank you, Gus. The Tigers are 2.5-point favorites, by the way. Let's talk again soon. Take care.
Jim, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. And in studio, Bill Bryan and Joseph Recapito, and they're here to talk about Columbus Day and the Italian community in this area, which is substantial. Columbus Day, by the way, became a federal holiday in 1937, so that's 75 years. And October 12th is the day. You're with us on October 5th, and I'm sure next week will be a big week, Bill.
Well, yes, it will, and it will begin on Sunday with an incredibly attractive Columbus Festa that the Greater Baton Rouge American-Italian Association is putting on at the Bella Baton Rouge Atrium. It's going to start at 11 o'clock, and it's going to run till 6 Sunday evening. It's going to be a day full of activities. It's free, and we encourage everybody to come out and experience some Italian culture.
That's Sunday, and Joseph Recapito, of course, is a big player in these activities, a man of Italian extraction by way of Brooklyn, right?
Actually, I was born in Italy, but I came to America when I was a child, and I was raised in Brooklyn, New York.
And you've been in Baton Rouge for how long?
32 years.
Well, how substantial is the Italian community in this area?
It is very, very significant. For instance, southern Louisiana was, of course, it needed workers, braccianti, day workers for the sugar. The sugar industry and the rice industry, and it was called the zuccherata, and that was the collecting of the sugar cane and processing it. And Italians had in Lecher and places like that, they had a significant role in all of that. And also, you go to a community like Independence, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. That was the cradle of the truck farming industry, and they brought people in from Sicily. Most of the Italian surnamed people in Louisiana are originally from Sicily.
Well, many Italian Americans observe Columbus Day as a celebration of their heritage. The first occasion, by the way, was in New York City, October 12th, 1866. Bill Bryan, Italians have faced some discrimination here as well.
Very much so. And that's one of the reasons that you don't find the pronounced Little Italies as you do in New York, Boston, Chicago, and things like that. When the Sicilians did come over to Louisiana back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were very heavily discriminated against because they were Catholic. And so they quickly assimilated into society so that they wouldn't be targeted as discrimination. But, I mean, even up until the 50s and the 60s, my mother had a Sicilian surname. She couldn't pledge many of the sororities at LSU. My uncle tried to start his business in the early 60s and join some of the country clubs here. Couldn't get accepted because he was Sicilian.
Is that still in effect?
I don't think it's not as publicly pronounced as it was.
Well, there's
was.
Some... at least one country club here that does not allow black members. Could an Italian get in?
I think they can now. I think what the Italians have done is establish themselves as pretty prominent business people.
Well,
there
are a lot of black
leaders,
prominent business people, too, and they're not allowed to play on the golf course or join the country club.
True.
So why were Italians allowed to get in?
I don't know specifically why they were allowed to get in, but I think just a lot of things have changed over the years, and now you have a lot of prominent Italians in government, in business, and education, and they've quickly made their mark. And there's not the perception that there was back when they first came over here of being ignorant, illiterate, and
George Sells has noted that back 50, 60 years ago there were headlines like Italian thief robs bank or something like that. Joe Recapito, you've been here a long time. Have you faced any kind of discrimination as a result of your heritage?
Occasionally, it will come up. But it's not as pronounced as it was at one time, largely in the United States, where since they were Catholics, there was a lot of prejudice against them. They would be the handmaidens of the Vatican, etc. But I think much of that, as Bill has said very well, due to success in business and in the professions, notable doctors, notable dentists, notable lawyers, judges and other people that are involved in public life in a very positive way. This has served as an antidote to the I think the worst part of prejudice, which is Italians and the so-called criminal gene.
David in Lafayette. David, you're on the air. Please be brief.
Yes, Jim, real quick, I like the fact that you mentioned the discrimination at the golf club in Baton Rouge. And a quick and simple answer is it comes down to the skin color, plain and simple. The Italians, European, blacks, African, you're not getting in. As you mentioned, got prominent blacks within the city of Baton Rouge who made many accomplishments, so it comes down to the skin color, plain and simple.
Bill Bryan?
I certainly think that still has a lot to do with it, but I think a lot of it, there are a lot of African Americans who are participants in major areas of society now, and I think a lot of it is economics. I mean, a lot of who are able to succeed economically are all of a sudden admitted into some of these places. I don't think that the discrimination is strictly on skin color.
Well, this is a topic that warrants further discussion and more in-depth discussion, and maybe we can get Bill and Joe back on another day. But we're short on time today.
Thank you so much.
Good to visit with you. Happy Columbus Day, and please keep your contributions coming. We certainly appreciate your support for WRKF.